This show brought to you by Circle of Seven.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Well, hello everyone on this Thursday, March 15th. So did you like that little jazzy intro there where I hit the wrong button? That was fun. So I'm looking at the keyboard, I just hit the wrong thing. So that's why it was a little confusing for all of us to start here on this afternoon or this evening, wherever you might be listening. I am Patricia Walters Fisher, or Patricia W. Fisher, and I'm your host today for Readers Entertainment Radio. We are going to talk to a really, really cool author, and she does something that I completely admire. She's a polyglot, and we'll get to that in just a second. But Maida Malby had to become a storyteller. With her grandfather writing poetry, her mother teaching short story writing, and her father's voracious love of reading, Maida had all the tools to bring beautiful words to the page. She writes multicultural contemporary romances set all over the world. At some point in her life, she has lived and worked in the Philippines, Indonesia, Singapore, Thailand, and the United States. She's presently on the U.S. side right now. So it's not surprising that those are some of her favorite locations for her novels. She also cooks many of the dishes that she features in her books. You can find her book and many other great selections at her Carpe Diem Chronicles blog and on that blog's Facebook page. She studied multiple languages. She can speak English, Filipino, Indonesian, French, and Thai. She can also order food and count in Spanish and Japanese, which is very, very important if you're in those countries. Her spouse serves in the U.S. Air Force, and she's the mother of a child who loves Super Mario. Her book, Orake Vows, can be found on Amazon. Welcome to the show, Maida. How are you?
Hi, Patricia. Thanks for having me.
Am I saying your name right?
Yes, perfect. It's Maida.
Okay,
yes.
Great. Because it's on your Facebook page, and it's like you're so kind to put down exactly how to pronounce it.
Pronunciation.
Yes.
It's important to me.
Well, and it's important to have someone's name correct. I mean, with you studying and knowing so many languages, I mean, it's truly important to make sure you've got someone's name correct. I'm sure you've known that. You've had that experience knowing so many and being in so many countries.
Yes, it could be cause for embarrassment or really interesting story to be told in the book. Yes.
Well, so tell me, let's start out with what was the book that you read years ago or the article that made you say, you know what? I mean, I know you come from storytellers, but what made you say, you know what? This book is amazing or this book is terrible. I want to write a book.
There's really no book like that. I could say Gone with the Wind.
Oh, wow.
I read that book when I was a teenager, and it was first edition. There were pages that were loose already. It was my dad's. And I read it, and I came to the ending, and you know how it ended, right? I don't want to spoil it for anybody else who didn't read it. But I was like, all this build up with Rhett Butler and Scarlett, and then he leaves. I was kind of a romance is that?
I know. I was like, what?
Like, I
know.
I threw this book against the wall, and then I said, you know what? I'm not going to be reading any of this open-ended. I want my happy ever after. That's what got me into reading romance, a lot of romance, where, you know, the ending is definite. That even if it's just like happy for now or it's optimistic that they're going to end up together. But that's what I want. I don't want them, you know, somebody dying or whatever. And, so that's what really made me fall in love with romance.
About Gone with the Wind, you know, and there was so much buildup about everything, you know. I've seen several biographies and read multiple articles about the whole buildup and how they picked Scarlett O'Hara and the pressure from all these actresses who really wanted that part. I honestly think all the behind-the-scenes stuff is fascinating for the movie. The book is amazing in itself because it's just ginormous. But I think actually I got more out of just reading behind the scenes of how they wrote it and then the movie versus the book itself.
Yeah, and the stories about what's his name?
Clark Gable and
Clark
Vivian
Gable,
Lee.
And all of those. We're not going to mention those. But books and movies. I love them. So they're both telling stories. And what got me into writing my own is this quote by Toni Morrison. She said, "There's a book that you want to read and hasn't been written yet, then you must write it." And
exactly.
It's from my own life story where I'm Filipino. My husband's American, and there are a lot of us here in the U.S. and everywhere else all over the world, but you don't find us in romance, in contemporary romance or in historical romance. There's always that a Filipina is never a heroine in a romance novel. So that's what I want to change. I want to tell my story. A story of lots of my friends who are in the same situation as me, and you know we have some cute love stories, we have some funny or even angsty love stories of how we came about, and there have been strong relationships because it's part of our Catholic background that there's seldom divorce in our relationships, and so there are strong marriages made out from Filipino and American or British or whatever it is that's a partnership. So that's what I want to tell more of to the readers.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've talked to people and they said, well, what difference does it make what color the skin is or what culture they come from? And it's like it makes a huge difference because the just the dynamics are the difference in the families and the food and the celebrations. And, I mean, like we saw with Coco, you know, the movie Coco, this, the Dia de los Muertos. I mean, that's a huge part of who – what they celebrate and how they see the world. And it is important to have this diversity. And the layering into the story itself could be something it's like, wow, I never thought about that. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're giving that voice.
Exactly. It's both something that readers can relate to, that these people are not as different, but also, you know, that their differences are their own, you know, based on their experiences and their family history and the relationships that they built wherever they are. And their different situations from here in the U.S. and in the Philippines, the political situations, they shape the people and the relationships that are built. So my stories are set in the Philippines and Singapore and Thailand, and there are factors that affect them in what's happening there at the moment. But still, I will relate it back to what's also happening here in the U.S. because, you know, this is a global village and it's a small world after all. So I'm going to sing right now.
We'll quote Walt Disney on that one, right? And I love that your comment there, right there, about being a global village because, you know, everybody, no matter the culture, no matter the religion, no matter the genders, they want a happily ever after. They want to find that person that they come home, that's their home. And I think that giving people a voice of, hey, that person looks like me or that person acts like me, or that's a big deal. The words are powerful. And you're talking about, we were talking about different cultures. It's kind of like when, I'm sure you've seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where she's talking about that. And my husband and I were engaged at the time. And we saw that movie, and we're not Greek. But that was just like exactly. It's exactly. And so there's certain things that do transcend over, no matter what family you have. And it's fun. I think if people would just say, oh, well, I could read that. And it's like, oh, yeah, I totally get this person. I mean, there's certain things that stick.
True. I mean, exactly. It's and this what I really want to make a message of, that it's both. There's a balance between finding the differences and bridging that gap that, you know, she's the same. I can relate to her. And how can I relate to her? You know, she's brown skin, she's short, but I'm like this. But you can.
You can.
And that's what I love about romance, is that you can, there's so many people, we come in all shapes and sizes, and love is colorblind, and everything, all genders and the alternative lifestyles. We can write about
right.
anything and everything, because love is universal.
So you've mentioned love is universal. Yeah, I know, on the heavy sigh. I love that. But so I only have the perspective of how romance novels are seen, are viewed in the United States, being at RWA and that kind of thing. When you've traveled, and if you say, or you've talked about romance novels, I read romance novels, or I write romance novels, what is the different reactions you've seen in the different places you've been?
You know what? I don't really care. I'm proud to be a romance writer and a romance reader I don't really see negative reactions from anyone, even if they're like lukewarm about it. I don't see it. I'm so enthusiastic about it. You know, I'm like in your face. I love romance. I read romance.
Right.
Read it. You know, it's like I just run over them with my enthusiasm and so what can they say? What can they do? It's like, oh, I hate romance. I think it's, you know what? I really don't care if they do, and they're like, you haven't read this book yet. It's going to make you love romance, you know?
Right.
I have so much passion for romance that I'm just really going to ignore any negative reactions to it. So that's my attitude
right.
towards it. I know there are some people who put this down, and I don't really care about that. I don't really care about their negative reaction, because they haven't read. They haven't read. I read like hundreds of books every year.
Mm-hmm.
I read at least one a day. So I read everything. You know, I historical, contemporary, paranormal, erotic, whatever. I read from everywhere. And so I know how good they are, and I know
yeah.
the stories, the emotions that they get from me, and I really am passionate about sharing the titles, the authors that I love, and I do that. I'm the best recommender of books. I don't really read that kind of book, but then you haven't read this yet, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, if you were just turning in, we're talking. If you're just turning in, we're talking to Maida Malby. She is the writer of a book called Boracay Vows, and she also has a blog called Carpe Diem Chronicles, where you have, just like you said, great book recommendations. So tell me how you came about writing the blog.
It's actually to share my books that I'm writing,
sure.
But then it turned out to be more of like what you said, recommending and reviewing books and sharing my friends' new, you know, book birthdays and all of those things. So it started as a, you know, marketing for my books, but then
sure.
It ended up as really more than that, and sharing overall love for all things written, all things romance. So yeah, that's where I share the books that I'm reading, the books I want to read, my friends when they have their new books, and even old books, and I can write enthusiastically about, you know, all my five stars and all my new discoveries, new to me authors. There's so many of us, and to be read mountain. It's not even just a file. It's
yeah.
One way for me to be able to help, you know, scale that mountain, because it's huge. I have like 1,500 books that I have yet to read. And they're all needed to be read because they're all good. They have stories to tell, and they have they needed to be recommended to everyone.
Well, it's kind of like, I don't know if you saw the movie Doctor Strange where he's asleep, but then his spirit is sitting there reading. It's like, oh, what I would give for that, you know.
Would do that? Oh, my gosh, that would be wonderful. You know, there's just so little hours in a day to be able to read and write and do these things and be a mom.
And do all the other stuff, like laundry
yes.
and kids and, yeah, I know. So tell me about Boracay Vows. The cover's beautiful. It is beautiful. Now, if you're listening, if you go to the page off of where you're listening, the links are there for her blog as well as the Facebook page for the blog and the link for Amazon for the Boracay Vows. So tell me about this book.
This is my first book. I knew when I started writing that I was going to set it in Boracay, in the Philippines. It's my favorite island in the Philippines, and it's really beautiful. There's it's your ideal place, you know, white sand. It doesn't get hot, you know, even in the middle of the day when the sun is high, and blue skies, clear waters.
You make me want to go look it up on Travel and Leisure.
yes. So it's my favorite place in the Philippines, and I knew I was going to set it there. But also, I was going to talk about this heroine who's had responsibilities all her life, and she's been a brilliant daughter, and she's 30, and she hasn't done anything much except for, you know, work and follow her parents, study and work, you know, and she's turning 30, and she hasn't been open herself up to love and or anything like that. So this time she was her friends had this scheme to get her to make changes in her life. So they sent her to Boracay at this resort, which her boss actually owns. Well, he's part
okay.
owner. And so they sent her there, and they sent her with, you know, sexy clothing and everything. Like, she's so conservative, you know, she's very dowdy. So she made some changes in that, but she's actually very attractive. And so she just made some changes, and she's also attracted to her boss. But there is a story about that in the book, why she can't be with him. So, of course, when that's the situation,
that's who we want to be with, right? When we can't be with someone, that's who we want to be with.
Yes. If you can't be with him, then that's who you're attracted to, and that's who you have to be with. And so the intimate atmosphere in this exclusive resort in Boracay has that, gave that element of, what happens in Boracay could stay in Boracay, let's not think about what's going to happen when we're back in the city, we're back at work. Let's take this moment now to fall in love, give this a chance. So that's what happens in the 7 days that they were in the island. And it's,
right.
You know how this such a romantic atmosphere could really enhance this attraction between two people. And so that's what happens in Boracay Vows.
And so you've also layered in not even just the visual experience, but the culinary, all of it. It's just so, it's layered. And so you're sitting there thinking, am I just sitting on the beach watching this happen? It's like following these people around. It's really fun to see all this stuff going on and how you've layered in.
It's really important for me to also add in the culture of the place I'm setting it in. And food is so much a part of the Filipino culture. When you meet people, they're going to ask, have you eaten? when they invite you to their home, you're going to have to eat, even though you've already eaten. And even
isn't
after
that,
you've eaten already.
I think that is a theme. Isn't that like a theme for all cultures? Always... And I find that I do it too. It's like, can I get you something to drink? Are you hungry?
Right.
It's like, I don't know if it's a nurturing thing. It's one of those moments of. Yeah, it's fun. It's so much fun because you keep talking to this person, having a wonderful visit, and then you say, but aren't you hungry? It's always fun. So you've got this book in the bag. It was out in November, and so it is a wonderful, especially at spring break here where we are. And so it's a great read. Also, you have what's your next project coming up, or where? What exotic place or wonderful place are you going to take us next time?
The next book is actually a novella, and it's coming in May. A little sequel to Boracay Vows, and Chris and Blake are coming to New York because Blake is from New York, right? So she's going to meet his family, and I'm going to spoil this for everyone. He's going to propose.
Oh, yay! Because we all want that.
Of course, just the ending, but how they get there is going to be the story. Because of course there's going to be obstacles, and it's not going to be like, he's going to propose at the beginning of the book. But there are going to be some situations whereby it's not that easy.
Well, no, it can't be. We've got to torture our characters a little bit.
Of course.
Yeah.
They have to cry a little bit. And somebody has to be against them or whatever. Of course, it's never that easy. That's not real life. So, as all romances, we know the happy ending is going to happen. But how it happens is how makes our books different and special. So this
exactly.
is the next. And the one after that is the story of Aiden and Maddie in Singapore. And it's going to be sparks flying off because as it happened already. And, he's in the Air Force. He's the lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. And she's this French-Filipina. And, she's always late for everything. And so there's going to be this disciplined military man. And she's this free The spirit doesn't care about this thing.
Right.
So, yeah, sparks are going to fly. And, and there's food, of course.
Of course.
It's going to be
always food.
A problem because she used to be a model. And she had some problems in the past about body image. But it's all going to be part of the book as well because I want body positive messages.
Sure.
For everyone. So, it's, you know, and Krista was herself is, she's considered plus size in the Philippines, you know.
Okay.
So I want those messages to come through as well in my books, you know, loving yourself, loving your body, whatever it is, but being healthy in your lifestyle, and accepting yourself for whatever it is that you have. So those are the messages I want to send, apart from, of course, romance and family and love and everything. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and all those things we want, you know, when we're reading a story like that. You know, we want a strong heroine who does, you know, starts here and ends up here, as well as the hero. We want all that. And it's not, like you're saying, it's not just the happily ever after. It's the all-encompassing everything that goes with it. You know, the characters just don't fall in love and everything's fine. They help
yeah.
each other through
exactly.
whatever they're fighting on their own.
Yes.
So what story or what project is on your goals list? I mean, what are you hoping to do in the future after you've done these next two? Or you've written the novella and you've got something, you've got Aiden and Maddie after that one. What is your next big, what is your long term?
No, I'm going to complete the series with there's another book coming out after that. It's set in Koh Samui in Thailand. It's about the other brother because this series is about the three brothers and three friends. So I mentioned already the brother Craig in Barakah Vows and also the friend Angela. So they're going to be paired off there. Then after that, I'm going to probably do a spin-off of Carpe Diem, and it involves characters that you will meet and you've already met in Barakah Vows. So I'm going to slowly introduce them throughout the series, and I'm still going to be setting them in Bali, in Cambodia, Siem Reap, because you know these places they haven't been. People go to these places, but majority of American readers, they can only travel through books, and I want them. I want to take them there. That's something that I can do because I've been to those places and I speak the language, so I can take the readers there. That's something that I can offer that not many other writers can do. So that is my goal, to bring my readers to places that I love. So I'm going to start with Southeast Asia. I'm also going to take them to Australia, New Zealand, even Europe. So places that I love, places that I'm familiar with. I want to take my readers to everywhere in the world. I will also take them here. I'll be participating in the Fiesta anthology. My characters are going to be in San Antonio. And I'm excited about that because I have a really good story for that because I love golf. And so my hero is going to be a golfer. And my heroine is also is still going to be interracial, multicultural interracial. So that's going to be my signature for everything that I do.
Well, thank you, Maida, so much. We have about 15 seconds left, and I so appreciate you being on today. It was wonderful. Everybody look up Maida Malby. She's on Carpe Diem Chronicles, and her book, Barakah Vows, is on Amazon. Keep reading, friends.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.